chapter 1, please. Philippians chapter 1. In the 21st verse of Philippians chapter 1, one of the most amazing statements, I have a hard time comprehending it. I know what it means, but it's a hard thing for someone to be able to say. And Paul was able to say this. And I guess our life goal ought to be able to say this. If you had to fill in the blank, I do this to my high school Bible class a lot of the time, ask them to fill in the blanks. And my life is all about what? There's the blank. My life is all about... Now, you know, you've got a lot of things going on in life. Little things here, little things there. But if you just had to sum up somebody's life, my life is all about... You know, if you were Tiger Woods, that's easy. My life is all about golf. I suspect that would be his answer, just about have to be. Bill Gates, my life is all about Microsoft. Or I wrote this, some of these notes 20 years ago when people, other people were alive. Pete Rose, remember Pete Rose? My life is all about baseball. And what would you say if you had to, if someone pinned you down, you've got to fill in that blank. My life is all about, what a lot of people would put, if they were honest, a lot of people, if they were honest, would put, my life is all about me. The Bible says if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you lose your life for the Lord's sake and for the gospel, you'll find it. A lot of folks would say, my life is all about me. Maybe somebody would be a little more subtle. They wouldn't put the word me there. But the truth of the matter is, the reason Tiger Woods plays golf is not to serve other people. It's just self-serving. I think I knew a lot about Bill Gates when he was younger. And one of my favorite Bill Gates quotes a long time ago was, he said the thing he hated about getting old was he could not stay up two nights in a row anymore. Well, why would he stay up two nights in a row? Writing software. And he was all about computers. My life is all about... Paul, he's not lying. He says, for to me. To me, he says. It's not for me, it's for to me. This is the way I see it, he says. For to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. I understand the last part. I don't have a lot of problem with that last four words. To die is gain. I don't know if it's such a sad story. I hate to even mention it. I don't want to get you distracted too much. But I was watching a documentary about Aaron. Is that his name? Hernandez, the football player for the New England Patriots. He was convicted of murdering somebody, and they put him in prison. And he committed suicide in prison. And when they found his body, he had hanged himself with sheets. And as I understand it, and you know, you'd never trust your first source, but he had a Bible in his room. It was open. And he had written the words of John 3:16, I think on his forehead or on his arm or something. And when they found him, they found the words of John 3:16. And your life doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. Amen? But if you were facing life in prison, a person that does not know the Lord properly, and I hope the guy was saved, I don't know, you might say, you know, better off just to go ahead and go to heaven. A lot of people say that. Paul says to die is gain. I understand that part. That's not a hard part. But for him to say to live is Christ, to live is Christ, those four words. First of all, I can tell you, we ought to be able to say that. That ought to be the desire, our heart's desire ought to be that when we stand before God, He's going to know. Just take those four words and leave the last one blank for a minute. To you, to live is, Paul said Christ. I'm not going to tell you that's easy. But it's not impossible. I'm not going to tell you can do it perfectly. But you can do it. Let me pray real quick, and I'm just going to look at some things about this statement, and we'll won't be long here, but let's pray. Father, please help us to understand what this means. Help our young people to understand what this means. Help us to understand the implications of it, what it would mean in our life if we were to practice it. Help us to understand what stands between us and being able to say, to live is Christ, and rid us of those things, we pray. We ask you, even those things that we might want to cling to, I pray you'd take them away. Help us to be able to say, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. God, help us to desire that. Help us to achieve it. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Seven quick thoughts, about a minute and a half each, and we'll be done. This is a phenomenal statement. Very few people could say this. In fact, I would ask you in your life to consider, how many people do you know that you can say without a doubt, for them to live is Christ? Israel, up here. To live is Christ. How many people do you know that can say that? I know a few. I don't know many. To live is Christ. That's phenomenal. That's unusual. Almost everyone seems to have something between them and the Lord, or something alongside the Lord, or two or three things alongside the Lord. And to live is Christ. If that really was true about you, wouldn't that change everything? Doesn't everything affect that? That's phenomenal. Imagine what it would be like if we had a church that had five people in it that could say, to live is Christ. Honestly say, for me, to live is Christ. If you had a church with five people like that, I think that would change the church. I hope we aspire to say that. It's a phenomenal thing. It's very, very rare. It's phenomenal that actually so many people can't say it. Folks, eternal life compared to this life. How much of what you have now, let me say that a little different, how much of what you have accomplished is going to go with you into eternity? How much of what you have accomplished is going to go with you into eternity? The popularity that you have, young people want to be popular, and I understand, I've been there, and we all like to be loved, and we like for people to like us. But if your popularity is more important to you than Jesus, that's not going into eternity with you. I hope you're popular with God's people. That's going to go with you because you do what's right and you stand for what's right. But in eternity, folks, the only things that really are going to matter, the only things you can take from here to there are the things that were done for Christ. To live is Christ, Paul said. For me, to me, to live is Christ. Now you saw the kind of life Paul lived. I won't rehearse that again. The things he endured. But what about the things he accomplished? I wonder how many people actually will be in heaven because of Paul. Wow. You probably have a hard time calculating that. It's not just the folks that he led to the Lord. He starts a church in Philippi or at Corinth or at Ephesus or, other places. And then those churches start churches and those churches start churches. And all things being equal, we're here today because of Paul. How many million people got saved because of Paul? To live is Christ, he said. It's a phenomenal statement. I spent too much time on that one. I will go faster on the others. I use the word permitted. We're using the letter P here tonight. A permitted statement, but what I mean is it's accurate. Paul could say that, couldn't he? He's not lying. Ask yourself this question. Can you say that? Can you come close to saying that? To me, to live is Christ. How would that change your life? How would that change a young person's life? I'll ask one question. I need an amen on this one. If a young person was to aspire to desire, to seek, to crave being able to say and being able to live in such a way that they could say, to me, to live is Christ, do you think that would make their life better? I do. Someone says, what should I do with my life? I got a short one-word answer. What should I do with my life? Live for Christ. Christ is the one word. Live for Christ. Oh, Pastor, that might cost me something I want. I might not be able to have certain friends. I might not be able to go certain places. I might not be able to do certain things. I might not be able to enjoy some things I enjoy. Well, you got, the Bible says, 70, or if by reason of strength, 80 years, and some people make it a little past that. You got maybe that many years on this life, and then you got eternity. What would you rather invest in, this life or the next one? And sadly, I know from experience, those of us that are old understand that, but we've already made our investment, haven't we? Young people just can't see that. They got so much life ahead of them, they just think, oh, I'll take care of that later. And then they never do. It is a permitted statement. Paul could say that. It's a possible statement. Would you agree with me? It can be done. Amen. I'm not saying it's easy. It can be done. I was looking at some things, and I thought to myself, if I had tried harder when I was younger, I could have done that. If I had put more effort into college, I could have done that. Or if I had put more effort into whatever, I could have done that. What a great place to put some effort, living for Christ. You know, I think it's more possible than we believe it is. We tend to say, oh, I couldn't do that, I'm just too weak. The Bible says when you're weak, God's strong. What's wrong with trusting in His strength instead of our own? It's a possible statement. You could do that. The devil definitely doesn't want you to believe you can do that. In fact, the devil's going to pull all the stops out. He's going to try everything he can to convince you it's too late, you're too weak, it's going to cost you too much, you know, it's not going to be worth it. And that's all lies. It is possible. And I know folks that could say that. I don't know many. But I know a few. It's a perfect statement. Here's the thought. He didn't say, for me to live is mostly Christ. He didn't say, for me to live is Christ and these things. He just perfectly stopped right there. For me to live is Christ. That's amazing. That's dedication. That's focus. That's sacrifice. It's worth it. I'm not going to try and convince you if it's worth it anymore. I'll spend too much time if I do. It's a phenomenal statement. Few people can say that. It's a permitted statement. It's accurate. Paul could say it. It's possible. It can be done. It's perfect. You can live entirely for Him. It is, a couple of words here, a personal statement. Perceptive is a word I would use also. Paul knew what his life was about. He said, to me, he knew. We know, don't we? We know what we live for. Have you ever... We went on a vacation one time and we went to Oregon in a motorhome and drove down the coast in a motorhome. And it was my favorite kind of vacation. We had no idea where we were going. We're driving down the road and we'd see something. And we'd say, let's stop and look at that. And we'd drive a little further and we'd see a RV park. Let's spend the night there. And you know there are people that live their life that way? They just kind of go from thing to thing to thing. Don't really have any purpose. Got to have some purpose in life, amen? And not, my purpose, let's see, I want to be rich. What you'll find out is a lot of folks, once they got rich, that didn't work. Let me see, I want to be famous, I want to be popular, I want to be successful, I want to be free to do what I want to do. You know, the woman at the well in John, she'd tried that kind of stuff. She'd tried all sorts of things, and she was still thirsty. And the Lord said, I can do something that will keep you from being thirsty. And that word thirst there has to do with being satisfied. Christ can satisfy you. It's a perceptive statement. It's something that Paul knew. You know, I know. Paul's view of life to him honestly was to live as Christ. Now, this is interesting. Two more things and we're done. The phrase to live, and I'm not a grammarian like some people here in the room know a lot more grammar than I do, but that phrase to live is what's called an infinitive. In other words, it is not just right now. It keeps on going. It kind of goes back to the question I asked earlier, how long should you serve the Lord? He says, for me to live is Christ, to die, talking about a point in time. In Greek, the phrase to die is in what they call the aorist tense, and we would call that punctiliar. It's a one point in time. To live is eternal. To die, that's a point in time. But for as long as you live, starting right now, couldn't we hope to say, to live is Christ? And then finally, it's a provocative statement. In other words, why would Paul even tell Timothy that? I've used this in Sunday school lessons and other things, talking about Paul's message to the Philippians. It's all about joy, and it's all about how you think, and it's the way you see things. You and I are examples to other people. Teenagers, for example, hopefully you came to church for the right reason. It's good to be with your friends, but to hear the Bible, to pray, to be around folks. It's an example, isn't it? I told you about my doctor in Dallas. I went to a doctor. His name was Dr. Payne. If I was a doctor, I'd change my name if my name was Payne. And Dr. Payne, who wants to go to Dr. Payne? And Dr. Payne, I'm going to guess he weighed about 3 1/4 at least. He was shorter than I was. And he looked like he was having a hard time getting around. And I thought to myself, I'm not sure I want to use this fellow as my doctor. I got a doctor here in town. This fellow, he's in shape. I mean, he's not muscular, but he's thin, and you can tell he takes care of himself. He says to me, you have no business being your age and weighing that much. Now, if Dr. Payne had said that, I would have thought, who do you think you are telling me? You need to talk to yourself a little bit. But this fellow here in town, he's right, and he did it. And here's the thought. I think to myself, if he can do it, I can do it. You ever thought that? Now, I'm not going to ascribe to be as spiritual as the Apostle Paul. After all, he was taught by the Lord, and a lot of things about him that we'll never be. But he didn't say that just to brag. He said that to inspire somebody. What he's saying is, it can be done. He says, I know, I've done it. Why don't you try to do it? Amen? You ever try and teach somebody how to do something? I told you this story about trying to teach kids to ski up in Utah. And I wasn't a great skier, but I can stand up and I can make it up and down the hill and I can stop and I miss most of the trees. And but you start teaching somebody something, you realize it sure helps to know what you're doing before you can try and teach them, doesn't it? It sure helps to have accomplished that before you try to show somebody else how to accomplish it. Paul says, personally, he says, I want you to know, I want to provoke you. I've done it. Why don't you do it too? Amen? When you witness to somebody, what do you do? The best way to witness to somebody, and we don't do this a lot, is to tell them how Christ saved you. I was lost. That's what Paul did a couple of times. He says, here's what happened to me, and Christ saved me. And we do the same thing, and we can tell other people what happened to us. Then they can say, well, hey, if it works for them, it might work for me. Amen? I don't know where to go with this. I know how valuable it is. I could have put one more P on there and had 8 points. It's a priceless statement. Because when you stand before the Lord one day, you're going to wish you could have said this. Aren't you? For to me, I got to get the whole verse in there. For to me, to live is Christ. In those last five words, and to die is gain again. That's true. I understand that part. But how to get to that point to where I can say, to me, to live is Christ? I think that requires some effort, doesn't it? Requires some submission to the Lord. Requires some sacrifice of some things that we put before Him. Requires, Paul said, I die daily. It requires a daily stepping away from, walking away from, turning your back on the things that would keep you from Christ. So what would you do if you wanted to say, to me, to live is Christ? The first thing I'd do is I'd get saved. The next thing I would do is I'd get baptized and join a Baptist church. The next thing I would do is I'd start reading my Bible every day and praying and walking with Jesus and let Him lead you and give you strength. Because we understand something else, and that is when we stand before the Lord, ultimately, if He didn't do it, it doesn't count. He needs to work in our life. Amen? That does not mean we don't have responsibility, but it means we have a dependence, a reliance upon Him. To me, to live is Christ. Fill in the blank. In your life, to me, to live is... Let's all stand and pray.